Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And we will have full coverage of all the impeachment stuff coming up starting tomorrow on News Radio 930 WBEN. And you can expect us to lead the way in coverage. I've got some homework I need to do tonight, and I am going to try to keep it simple as I possibly can. But I think Rush pointed this out the other day. One of the pitfalls for all of us informationally overwhelmed people, is to separate truth from fiction, opinion from fact, and to pick out the morsels of virtuosity and truth from a cacophony of sound. And that is going to be a challenge for me. It's going to be a challenge, I think, for anybody. So we will have the coverage for you tomorrow. And Sandy Beach will be leading the way. Sandy Beach's show, of course, Monday through Thursday, 9 until 12 noon. And then Joe Beamer takes the reins Fridays from 9 until noon. And make sure you listen to Sandy Beach, because he's got some more trips lined up with Mr. Nevrith. And as I understand it, some of these trips are going to be absolutely epic. Now, if you're just joining my program, first of all, hope you had a good day at work. If you're just getting out, please be careful driving, because you know there are a lot of numbnuts out there. And basically, I had a situation today, which I'm glad I had, because it spurred and was the impetus for this show. Impetus sounds awfully close to impotence. It's not like I've got a fixation, does it? All right, so I'm driving to work. I'm on Maple Road, and a van, without warning, comes to a stop and makes a U-turn. Now, I am roughly car lengths behind the van, but it was like, the person in the van was like, I'm going to stop and make a U-turn, and I really don't care if anybody is behind me or what kind of mayhem I might cause on the road. I want to make a U-turn. Good luck to everybody else. Now, we've done a lot of shows over the years on driving and what grinds your gears when you drive, but I'm using the van making the sudden stop and the quick U-turn directly in front of me as a metaphor. And do you believe that we have entered the, and I wish I could use the word I'd like to use, but I can't do so, have we entered the screw you society? And give us examples of what you have seen as evidence of the screw you society. And when did it get to be this way? Because there's a chance, I'll just wrap up this thought quickly, there's a chance that maybe what we think of now as people who don't know how to drive is simply an epidemic of people who don't give a flying fig about anybody else on the road. I was very careful when I said that. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get right back to the calls, and it is Roy in Boston on WBEN. Hello, Roy.
Good afternoon, Tom. My observation is this. I believe this started with the implementation of the self-esteem program. It produces emotional cripples who want constant attention. They have never accomplished anything worthwhile, so they complain about everything to get attention and are obnoxious and considerate, self-centered, and angry at the world because they are not acknowledged and catered to.
Okay, talk to me about when, how, and where this self-esteem program, as you view it, began. I mean, some might refer to it as the everybody gets a trophy generation.
Well, I believe it started probably about 30, 40 years ago in school when they were teaching children to have self-esteem. You know, and in fact, I talked to a self-centered person that was through that, and this is what they said to me: if you don't think highly of yourself, no one else will. Now, my retort to that was, you think highly of yourself because no one else will. Now, people who have accomplished worthwhile successes do not behave in that manner.
Well, I think it depends on of whom you are speaking and how their parents raise them. I mean, I think everybody ought to have at least a little bit of self-esteem by virtue of simply being alive as a human being and at the top of the food chain. You know, I mean, you've got to, you know, you got to have some respect for who you are, unless you're a serial killer, I suppose.
Oh, I totally agree with what you're saying, but these are people that take it to the extreme. You know, they're never wrong. It's always someone else's fault. They're not appreciated. You know, they can't do the job. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're reprimanded, it's all the boss's fault. The boss doesn't know what he's doing, and they're the only one that knows anything.
You know, what I hear you saying is that we have also entered an era where people are afraid to admit that they made a mistake and that they owe an apology, no matter how egregious the offense they may have committed.
Oh, correct. Well, they're so self-centered, they won't admit they made a mistake. We learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, that used to be called, way back when, the right man syndrome. Somebody who always had to be right, and of course that can be extended to women as well. By the way, Roy, I've learned in life that when a woman believes that she is right, it is best to accede to her belief that she is right. That is the recipe for a much happier life.
A very good observation.
I'm glad you called, Roy. Thank you very much. Very interesting take, as usual, from Roy in Boston. He's a smart dude. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And I don't blame the millennials for this screw you society. I blame people in the late baby boomer era. People who were born around when I was born. I was at the end of the baby boomer era in 1963. And I believe that we are a lot responsible for this plunge into the screw you and I am the best and nobody else matters mentality that is evidenced by slamming your brakes on right in front of somebody and making a U-turn you shouldn't have made, regardless of whether the person in back of you had to slam on the brakes. Let's go to Dominic. Thanks for holding, Dominic, on a truck. You're on WBEN.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you on, and I can honestly say I don't agree with you a lot of the time, but on the baby boomer generation, I tell people all the time, this started three generations ago. I'm a Gen Xer, and the baby boomers was the first generation to push everybody towards college. And I hear you guys a lot complain that the schools teaching everything liberal is where this comes from. And the baby boomer generation didn't want their kids to work in plants, so they steered everybody to college. And that's where it all came from, as far as I'm concerned.
I do believe that what you're saying has a lot of merit to it. Fortunately, I don't know if you've noticed it, but you know, the pendulum seems to be swinging back now where people are actually becoming more appreciative of people who are going to the vocational schools, people who are becoming carpenters, who are becoming bricklayers, who are becoming technicians.
I can honestly say I do see that because I am an electrician and people are finally realizing that you can get your hands dirty and make a good living. But I also work with a lot of people, a lot of baby boomers, probably guys your age, that are raising their grandkids because they screwed up raising their kids and they got their legitimate or illegitimate grandkids dumped on them because their kids can't make a living because they were raised poorly and now they're screwing up their grandkids, too.
So if we have entered the era of screw everybody else and it's all about me, How do we get out of it? How do we deal with that?
I don't know, because one of your other callers was talking about the coffee shop where everybody ignored him, and people are addicted to devices. It happens fast. I had my kids later. They're 10 and 13, and we have a couple times a week we do family game night. No devices. Everybody puts them down. We play board games, Scrabble, whatever. But it's amazing how detached we've become as human beings to actual human interaction.
And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, and that is, I was just talking to somebody about this earlier today. That is why I value the, you know, I talk about my two families. I've got my blood family, but I've also got my family that I go out with probably five nights a week. And, you know, there are various permutations of the family. When we had a dinner reservation at the Armor Inn on Saturday, it started out as a reservation for eight. By the end of the night, it was 14. And by the end of the night, I think we had about 20 people at our table, and it is so important to have face-to-face human interaction with real, living, breathing people and understand that a lot of people are going through a lot of stress, and the world does not revolve around you or me.
Absolutely. I had to explain to my 13-year-old the other day, if you watch, a lot of kids now, all they watch is YouTube. Everything is on YouTube. We don't even have an antenna at my house because nobody watches the TV. Well, all these kids on YouTube that are making millions of dollars opening boxes and doing all this ridiculous stuff, and they have these overinflated reactions to everything. Everything is an end of the world or greatest reaction in the world. And I had to explain to my kids, look, this is not the way you react in public. This is not, you know, blowing everything out of proportion is not normal human behavior. That's a video. You have to learn to detach and be a real human being. And you do that by interacting with people around you.
Now, what a great point. Dominic, I'm really glad you called in. Great observations, bro.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. I really liked what he had to say. If you guys do or don't, I'd like to know. Have we entered the screw you, only I matter and you don't matter generation? I think we might have been there for a while. And in all honesty, I'm not trying to pander to millennials. I'm not trying to pander to the Generation Xers or people who are younger. But I think a lot of it started with the later era baby boomers. And maybe it was the way we were taught in school. Maybe it was our own narcissism. It was perhaps our own sense of a lack of privation, of getting most everything we wanted. I'm not quite sure, but have we entered that, and how do we deal with it? And just an aside question, which isn't really a topic unto itself. It's just an observation. When is the last time you had a kid with a shovel knocking on your door after a snowstorm asking if you would pay them to shovel out your driveway? When I was a teenager, that was me. I'd get the shovel from mom and dad's garage, and I'd go and I'd shovel driveways and make some extra money that way. I can't tell you the last time somebody has knocked on my... In fact, it's never happened at my current home. Never. Let's get back to the calls. And I've got a brick driveway, so I don't think it can be plowed. I think that might be an issue, but I'm not sure. Let's go to Larry in Niagara Falls. Larry, thank you for holding. Have we entered the screw you generation, and what happened?
Hi, I just wanted to say my daughter does go door-to-door and shovels driveways. There's a program in Amherst where she's a part of that. It's called Youth Works, where she can go, and they set you up with neighbors that you can rake leaves and shovel driveways, and we were doing that this weekend, actually.
Well, I am taking notes, because if I got a job for them every time it snows.
So, yeah, maybe we should share information, and she'll come over and help out with that. But
I pay. I pay well. I just, you know, it's just one of those things. I just can't do it.
So, but the thing is, I was talking about politeness and thinking about that when you were mentioning this, and I'm thinking, you know, how many times I've gone into a restaurant and either the hostess who's supposed to sit us or whoever is somewhat distracted or doing something else and not taking the time. And one of the things I've actually noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this too, but just walking through a grocery store or walking down a sidewalk or something like that, how little eye contact people make, where it's just friendly, sort of like, hi or hello. It's almost like people are in their shell, afraid to just have these polite interactions. And I remember that when I was a kid, that seemed to be more of a common thing. I don't know if you've noticed that as well.
You know, I think in a subtle way I have. And I wonder, like, okay, as far as, let's say I'm going grocery shopping as a single man, and there is a single woman grocery shopping, and I come close to hitting her shopping cart, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, if I say I'm sorry, am I going to be accused of being, you know, of being inappropriate?
Yes. I had an exact situation like this with my wife the other day. We went into 7-Eleven or something. We were buying, like, Slurpees for the kids and all this stuff, and there was a female employee working at the register, and she started chatting, and I cracked a joke about, you know, the snow or something like that, and she gave me a glare, and I thought, well, I'm just making small talk, but it seemed like there was more, almost like paranoia about whether I was going to cross the line or say something strange. And I thought, well, it's just like a level of friendliness that I thought is sort of gone in our society. I don't know. It just seems like that level of just neighborly friendliness or casual conversation with people, people seem to be more paranoid about that now. Like there's some sort of line that you're afraid to cross every now and then. It just seems like that wasn't there when I was a kid. I don't know if you've recognized that as well.
You know, I think I have in some regards, but what I have noticed too is...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The more you smile and the more you make eye contact with people, the more likely it is that other people are going to smile and make eye contact with you. And there's nothing inappropriate about making small talk about shoveling the driveway or dealing with cleaning up the snow. Now, if you start to say, you know, I'd like to see a naked shoveling your driveway, obviously that's a line you're not going to cross.
I get that. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think there's almost like a rush to assumptions that you're, you know, oh, watch out for what, you know, people are saying. And I think I've noticed that too, especially in your example with driving. Like there's an intersection near my house where there's a kind of a weird stop sign with a lot of cars. And
I got to get you to hold on. I apologize, sir, if you can hold on through the news break, I'd appreciate it. But I have to break. Don't have a choice on WBEN. What's the matter, Phil? You give up on playing Billy Joel musical bumps because people think we're giving away concert tickets? Yep, that Phil is nodding his head in agreement. Phil Kennedy at Master Control. He's the brains of the show. I just hit one button and babble endlessly. If you are just joining us, thank you for being here. And lines are open now. If you call in, I will not keep you on hold forever and ever and ever. I don't like it any more than you do. And the question is, have we entered the screw you, I'm the only person on the planet who matters society? And if we have, when did it begin? How did it begin? And if you are a millennial, all right, if you are a millennial, is it fair to blame you? I don't think it is fair to blame millennials or people younger than millennials, because I believe the biggest culprit in this screw you society, I think the biggest culprit are people who were born around the time I was born, the late era baby boomers. I think that we, either because of the way we were educated or the way we were brought up, I believe we began the screw you society. As much as I'd like to blame the greatest generation, as much as it would be fun to blame the millennials or the post-baby boomers, I gotta believe that the late era baby boomers played a significant role in the screw you society. And have you noticed the screw you society in effect? Like the guy at a local coffee shop, the only person in line, and the two people behind the counter refused to acknowledge his existence or presence at the establishment. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm sorry that Larry, I think, hung up on us. Sorry about that, bro. I really wanted to hear your story. Here is Rick on a cell phone. Rick, you're on WBEN.
Hey, Tom.
Rick, if you could turn your radio off, you'd be helping me in lowering my blood pressure.
I already did.
Thank you, sir.
So I was just listening to you when I got out of work and you were talking about a driver who decided that they were just going to stop right in front of you and make a U-turn and could not care less about what's going on. But I have noticed that over the past, 15 years, how ignorant people are towards other drivers, the courteous.
Well, you know, here's my whole point, Rick, and forgive my interrupting you. We've done a lot of shows about what angers you about driving. But for whatever reason today, I took the van, slamming its brakes on, and making an illegal U-turn with me right behind them. I took that as a metaphor for greater issues of the screw you society.
Yeah, that's true. And how our area gets into gridlocks with very little drivers on the road. We get a little bit of snow or a little bit of rain, and we have gridlock all over the place because people won't be courteous to let people in or give people the right of way. And I was just in Thailand and Singapore the past couple of weeks. And in Singapore, there's about 5 million people in an area the size of Western New York. And all the time I was there, I did not see any gridlock there. I didn't see any traffic jams, no accidents or anything.
It's because they'll cane you if you cause gridlock.
Yeah, and they don't have stop signs. They do have red lights. But it's just everybody's so much more courteous towards each other. Even the people on, like, subways and buses, they'll talk to other people. They'll acknowledge people. People getting off a subway, they'll let them get off before they try to shove their ways on.
Really?
Subways? Yeah. They're over there, the culture is so much more happy, relaxed, laid back. It's not like here where everybody's pretty, I hate to say it, out for themselves.
What do the sociologists call it, a high synergy society, one where people behave that way?
I believe you're correct. Our society, is when I was a kid growing up, was that way. I mean, I grew up in East Aurora. I'd walk down the streets, and I think I was a politician because everybody would be waving to me, beeping to me, saying hello. I walked down Main Street in East Aurora, and nobody will even say a word to you, or they won't even look at you anymore.
And why, you know what, why do you think that is? And do you think you can change it by the way you act to people?
I just think everybody's just drawn inwards by themselves. And I think a lot of it is by the way they're brought up now with their parents. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of social activity with parents anymore with their kids like there used to be when I was a kid growing up. And a lot of it, I think, is the internet, where more people are sitting at home playing on the internet or doing social events on the internet versus being out in public and communicating with their neighbors and people who are in the community.
You know, I think that is a constituent part of it, but there almost to me seems to be, how do I say this? I hope I'm phrasing it the right way, but almost like our society is trapped in what an individual might be called a passive aggressive mode, but more aggressive than passive.
Yeah, I know that.
I don't know that I phrased that in quite the right way. I mean, there are exceptions to that, and there are ways to deal with that. And I've found that one of the ways to deal with it is to smile more and just talk more. Although I have to tell you that, and we've already had somebody else agree with this, I'm almost afraid sometimes to strike up a conversation with somebody because in this day and age, I'm worried, am I going to say something offensive? Is something going to be construed in a way I did not wish it to come across?
Yeah, I think you're right about that because I actually work in one of your favorite grocery stores part-time at night, too. And I mean, I'm kind of a jokester when it comes to things because I'll come out of our back room and I'll see a customer maybe up at the counter that looks like either they need help or something. And I might go up to them and say, hey, how can you help me? And usually that kind of gets a chuckle out of most people. But there's a way that I kind of see people that kind of make me do that. Normally I'll just say, hi, how can I help you or whatever.
Right.
There's just a way that you can kind of read somebody and it kind of breaks things up, makes people laugh. And when you can joke like that with people, but 99% of the people, it's like, you don't even want to look at them in a certain way because you're afraid that you're going to get yelled at for being aggressive towards them or, you know, making fun of them or something like that.
Or staring at them inappropriately. I mean, if you happen to see a woman, you know, presuming you're a heterosexual man, if you happen to see a woman you find attractive and you're looking at them and maybe trying to get their attention for a quick hello, suddenly you become Jack the Ripper.
Yes. Matter of fact, there was, I think there was a gentleman at one of the stores who actually got arrested for inappropriate touching of customers.
Well, but if that line was crossed, then that's something that, you know, obviously it has to be addressed because that's a no-no. That's always been a no-no.
Yes, that's true. So, but in closing, I also did notice when I'm working at my grocery store that I work at that people push their shopping carts like they drive their cars.
You are so right on that, brother.
Yeah, I mean, they run into those displays, they run into other people's carts, they run into people themselves, and in a way, it's kind of hilarious watching them fight through the crowds and everything.
Yeah, that's why I try to stay away from grocery stores during a weekend afternoon. Glad you called. Thank you so much. Hey, where are my millennials? All right, where are my millennials, and where are my ladies? Where are Bowerly's babes on this topic? Have we become the screw you society? I mean, women, you are, and this is, of course, a stereotype, but you are supposed to be our nurturers. You are supposed to be the kinder sex, the fairer sex. And have you noticed that we have degenerated and morphed into a society where the only thing that matters to anybody anymore is themselves, with less emphasis on community, as our caller talked about in Singapore. Even though there are 5 million people in an area the size of Western New York, he said, I didn't have a chance to look it up in my little atlas, but he said people are far more courteous, even though they're far more congested. 803-0930 is the phone number. That is 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. The first open hearing in the impeachment inquiry is tomorrow, and you will hear everything you need to know here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's get right back to the calls. I don't like to keep people waiting, so let's not keep John waiting. Get you right on. John, you are on WBEN. Have we entered the Screw You Society, sir?
I believe we have. I do. I really do.
And whom do you blame?
I don't want to blame my parents' generation, but I do at the same time.
I will blame the generation into which I was born. I will blame the late baby boomers for getting it started.
But we are the generation that is going to fix it.
All right. How is that going to happen?
I think there's a lot more people like me, a lot more young people. I'm 24, and I think there's a lot of us that think very similarly. Yeah. But I work in maintenance right now, and I was taught from a very smart man that skill equals worth. And one of your callers brought that up, and it resonated with me.
Skill equals worth. Okay, keep going with the thought. Run with it.
I mean, to me, that's self-explanatory. If you don't have anything to contribute to society, you can't expect anything back.
But, you know, even if you have the money, you've got the fancy wristwatch, you've got the, by the way, a wristwatch is something people used to use to tell time, just so you know. Let's just say that materially you are successful, and you're going to be successful. It is my contention that we as a society have lost the capacity and the ability for real and genuine human interaction in far too many cases.
I agree. I believe I was raised the right way by my parents, my grandparents. Not to always respect somebody, but, you know, to see the circumstances behind that person and how they were raised and how to help them. And then how and they help me. It's a give and take society. As well, it's at least how it should be.
In its ideal form. If you have more to say, I will put you on hold. Unfortunately, I need to take a break, and of course, had to take a break the moment you called in. That sometimes works that way. It is 4:49 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly for Jamestown Mattress. So whether you are a baby boomer, a greatest generation person, a generation X, Y, Z, I don't know. I can't keep track of them anymore. And let me just sound like your dad for a minute. This time of the year, make sure you've got some nice warm gloves or mittens in the car. You've got a hat, maybe one of those hats that covers your face as well, one of those face guards, and some snack food just in case you get stranded. Sandy Beach, he's the big Pop-Tart guy. I've got my own snack food. It's called Southern Comfort. Not advisable for most people. But just, you know, remember, you got to make sure that your car is ready and never let the gas go below half a tank. I think Sandy Beach operates in that philosophy, and so do I. I do not let the gas go below half a tank when the weather starts to get like this, because it just ain't worth the risk. Let us go back to the calls. And John had a thought upon which he would like to finish up. Johan?
Before I get back to the thought, if I had a dollar for every time my mother, grandfather, and grandfather told me to say what you just said to gloves and everything, I'd be a rich man.
Well, unless there's something I don't know, John, I'm not your dad, but you must come from good stock.
I think we're cut from the same cloth.
Blessing and a curse simultaneously. So finish your thought on, as a millennial, on the Screw You Society and how we got to this point.
What I would like to get across to listeners is, like I said, I'm 24, but I also have the hope, and I also kind of know that there's more young people out there like me that hold the faith but don't want to, you know, admit it to anybody.
And you're not talking about a religious faith. You're talking about a faith in your fellow human beings.
No faith. I mean, as a society, we have to keep progressing. And the way I see it, we're doing the exact opposite.
Well, you know what? It's up to you guys of the millennial generation to rehumanize the country. And I'm not even talking politics. Just I'm talking about basic human interaction. And especially as we enter increasingly into the era of Amazon, and we enter into the era of drones delivering stuff, and we enter into all of the information overload, it is an artificial intelligence, it's going to be increasingly difficult to maintain one's humanity in an increasingly technological society. And I don't mean to sound like a Luddite, but I don't think we want to be a bunch of robotic automatons.
And I agree. And Mr. Bowler, I give you my word, as a man, I will try my hardest to steer me, my future family, and everybody I can into the society that we've been and then what we need to progress to.
Well, John, I am very delighted to hear that, and I hope you can make the world a better place. I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
All right. It is, and, you know, I'm as much of a hypocrite, I guess, as anybody, because you know, for as much as I'd like to see society improve, if I listen to an Andrew Dice Clay monologue, I'm going to laugh. If I listen to an Artie Lang comedy bit, I'm going to laugh. And people would argue that that is gutter humor. But I'm subject to it as much as anybody else.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.